I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back. No place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. We go ahead and declare this at the very beginning of the class, that this is what is happening. This is what is happening in me. It's what's happening in you. We're, none of this is wasted time. No needing us warming up for half of the class and then going, yeah, I think something's happening now. We don't walk by feeling.
Right.
We walk by faith. And we know the Lord works with our words. Father, all of us agree together today asking you for the utterance, the anointing. Only you can give us these things, and you are so gracious and good and faithful to do so. Enable everyone to see, hear, and receive, and give us answers and help for right now, where we are, when it is, how it is. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you'd look with me again to Psalm 23, we've been on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And by faith, I mean faith in God. Faith for provision. And we're giving one by one 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure it's always God's will for us to have abundant provision. All of us. Always. That is a new thought to a lot of church-going people who have been taught in different ways, or the impression was left that God uses lack. God uses poverty. He's ordained that some people be born in abject poverty, live out their life just scrounging for enough to eat. And we don't know why, because God's ways are mysterious. No, that's junk.
That's right.
That's men's ideas. That's just as wrong as it can be. God doesn't change. And He doesn't have one will for heaven and another will for earth. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't have, a will that these people be blessed and enjoy a comfortable life and these people are digging in the dirt to keep from starving every day. No. No, sir. No, ma'am. Not true. These are lies that have been perpetuated for generations, sadly, through some of the church. Religious tradition that has replaced the Word of God. Now, if it sounds strange to you and you're unsure about some of these things, don't just say, well, Brother Keith, I don't think I agree with you. It ain't about me and you. Where are your beliefs from? What are they based on? I'm in the process of giving you, with the Lord's help, 30 different solid scriptural proofs. Okay, you say, well, I don't believe that. Where's your scriptural proofs for what you believe? One, two, three? You got three of them? 30? Not just, well, I just feel like, well, your feelings are not good enough to base your life on, brother.
That's right.
Huh? There's only one thing, one sure, solid, heaven and earth will pass away, but it won't pass away. Thing to build your life on, and that is, it is written. So the first one we looked at was, it is written in Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Other translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, I'm never in need. The Lord is my shepherd, He gives me everything I need. Another one said, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not be without any good thing. Another one said, the Lord is my shepherd, I will always have everything I need. Does that sound like lack to you?
No.
Poverty to you? I mean, what church-going Christian don't like the 23rd Psalm? Right? Huh? Right? What Bible-toting, amen-saying Christian don't like the 23rd Psalm? I like the 23rd Psalm. Yes. Well, go ahead and believe it then. Yeah. Believe the 23rd Psalm. Everybody said out loud, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
I will not be in lack.
I will not be in lack.
He gives me everything I need.
He gives me everything I need.
I will always have everything,
everything.
I need. Why?
What?
Because the Lord is my shepherd. So we spent time on that. And if you weren't with us, all of these previous messages are available online if you go to faithschool.org. Won't cost you anything, no charge, and there's hundreds of messages already that precede these and several in this series. Go and feed on these. Catch up with us. They're all important. All these scriptures, I'm saying, are important. Number two reason was the goodness of God. Number three, the fatherhood of God. Number four, the creation of God. Number five, God's will in heaven. What we're saying is we are sure that abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of God's will in heaven, because of the God of Abraham, because we are the seed of Abraham, because of the blessing of tithing. The Lord didn't say, honor me with the tithe and go broke.
That's right.
No. Honor him with the tithe. He said, prove me that I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing there's not room to receive, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Does that sound like being broke? Does that sound like suffering poverty? No. And we're down today and this week and last week to reason number nine. We're sure it's God's will for us to always have abundant provision because of honor and riches. Go to Proverbs 3 again and 9. He said, honor the Lord with your substance. Like we'd said before, the word honor is also translated glorify. And the word substance is translated some 17 times in the same King James Bible, riches and or wealth. So it's entirely accurate and precise to read it this way. Honor the Lord with your riches. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your increase. And would there be a result from doing that?
Yes.
So shall your barns be filled with plenty and your presses burst out with new wine. The NIRV says it like this. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Give him the first share of all your crops. And then your storerooms will be so full they can't hold everything. And your huge jars will spill over with fresh wine. Does that sound like being broke?
No.
That's the opposite of running short, of not having enough. This is having too much for your storage area. This is surplus. Has he always been the God of more than enough?
Yes.
He's always been the God of abundance. Isn't he the God of good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over? How can you get poverty out of running over? These two ideas are completely opposite. And so what I keep saying is this idea of maybe God wants me broke, maybe God's teaching me something through this poverty, did not come from God. It did not come from the scriptures. It came from men's religious tradition. And you want to get rid of that because that'll just rob you. It'll just limit you, hold you back. Now, when we talk about riches and we talk about money, the enemy loves money. And he wants all the money, all the money. He doesn't want you and I to have any money or any stuff. He wants us absolutely broke. He wants the church to be so broke and so pitiful that nobody wants to go there and nobody wants to be a part of it. Nobody. And he has convinced generations of believers that money in and of itself is just a bad thing. And you want to stay away from it. You know, how many times folks have stood up in church and sang songs like, I don't want any of this old world's goods. I don't want any of that. Well, I do. I do. You can sing that if you want to. That's not a scripture. Amen. I said, that's not a scripture. In this world, you need some stuff. Yes, right? Amen. And if you're going to have a successful and a vibrant a church and a ministry that reaches out to a lot of people, you need buildings for people to come meet in and have service in. You need equipment and tools and money for outreach to hold meetings and, right?
Yes.
Stuff. Money. And so the enemy has really tweaked on this term, filthy lucre. Anybody ever heard of that? And of course, that sounds like something you don't want. Right? You don't want to be a part. You don't want to be associated with filthy lucre. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter and the 2nd verse, 1 Peter 5:2, it says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Somebody said, not for filthy lucre. Titus talks about this as well. Titus 1 and verse 7, it says, a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. Now, you know, when's the last time you used that phrase in a conversation with somebody? Do you even know what lucre is? Filthy, we got an idea about that. You know, nasty, dirty, but lucre? What exactly is that? Glad you asked. Verse 10, in that same Titus 1:10, he said, there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Filthy lucre's sake. Now this is a King James phrase. And if you look up the words, you begin to see, and especially if you look at some other translations, it's different than how many have imagined. And the reason I'm saying this is because people have taken that phrase and that idea and just categorically said, yeah, money's nasty, you know, filthy money, didn't say filthy money. First of all, if you look it up, it's not really filthy that it said. The word means shameful. Well, that means something different to me. Right? Shameful. And the word lucre means gain. Gain. And it's that word's used in some positive ways in the scriptures. Like a positive profit, a good profit. And it's not, the word gain is not in and of itself a bad word. The word shameful is the issue. Right? Shameful gain. Everybody say that out loud. Shameful gain. I believe that's an accurate way to say filthy lucre. We don't really use that term today. It's a King James phrase. But shameful gain. Let me read some other scriptures to you. In 1 Samuel 8, you don't have to turn to these, but in 1 Samuel 8, you know, we actually read some of this later on is where the Lord said, them that honor me, I'll honor. And his sons, Eli's sons, were abusing the offerings. And it says here that his sons, this is Eli's sons, and then also Samuel's sons did the same thing, said they walked not after his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Do you see what this is associated with? See, what he's talking about, filthy lucre, which is technically shameful gain, he's talking about crooked stuff. He's talking about under the table, underhanded, perverting justice and judgment. This same word is translated in Proverbs 15:27, is translated greedy of gain. And in Isaiah 33:15, is translated gain of oppressions. And then it talks about holding of bribes. You'll find more than once bribe is connected with this idea of lucre and shameful lucre. Bribes and gain of oppressions. That also describes this thing. Oppression means you defrauded somebody. You took advantage of them. You're doing something that's wrong. It's not just the money. It's how you're getting it. Come on, can you see this?
Yes.
And this is the big deal. And the enemy has convinced a lot of church-going people to just lump it all together and say, no, it's money. The money is the bad thing. No, the money's not the bad thing. It is not. The scripture didn't say money was the root of all evil. It's the love of it. And that is an issue. Boy, is it an issue. I'm telling you, I've had preachers look me in the face and lie to me over money. Wrong. And, you know, people get under pressure and they get behind and whatever and take money that they shouldn't and misappropriate and all these kind of things. That's wrong. Not the money itself. The money can be used to do good or bad. Right? It's just a medium of exchange. And the reason I'm talking about this is because the enemy has deceived millions of people into shutting themselves off from financial help and monetary gain because to them, all gain is bad. No. It's how you got it. I want you to say it out loud. It's not what you have.
It's not what you have.
It's how you got it.
How you
obtained
it.
And see, this is the big deal. You know, you'll hear people say, well, you know, all's well that ends well. Uh-uh. No. And people say, well, you know, the end justifies the means. It does not. Not with God. Mm-mm. No, not by any means. You remember we talked about earlier our previous point and lesson. Abraham tithed. And what we see him tithing was at the when he went and got his kinfolks back and all the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah and before it was destroyed. And when the king came out and the king said to Abraham, he said, look, take all the stuff. And just let me have the people, because now he's a king with no people. Said, let me have all the people, you know, to rule over and take all the money. And what did Abraham say to him? He said, I won't take a shoelace from you. Why? Not that the stuff was bad, but what? He said, I'm going to paraphrase. He said, I'm not going to have it said that the king of Sodom made Abram rich. Mm-mm. He said, I have lifted my hand up before God. It ain't happening. Well, what's he saying? It matters how it comes. Amen. It matters the way it comes. I heard Brother Kenneth Copeland say this one time years and years ago, and boy, it stuck with me, and I thought, absolutely right. He said, if I can't get it with my faith, I don't want it in my house. Don't you like that?
Yeah.
Well, see, the scripture says in Romans 14, whatever's not of faith is sin. Or as the Amplified says, whatever is done without a sense of its approval by God is sin. You know, we must not want something so much that we're willing to compromise to get it. Willing to leave the wrong impression. Willing to give people wrong information. Willing to lie, to deceive, to hurt somebody, to get it for ourselves. That's what's wrong. Not the money. Not the stuff. Now, I know I'm sounding a bit repetitious, but the devil has fooled much of the church in this area into that the money is the problem. No, the money ain't the problem. It's the heart. I said it's the heart. It's what you're willing to do and not do. The Lord said this to me a number of years ago. He said, if you want it too much, you'll go too far. You know what he means by that? You'll cross lines. If you want it too much. And the problem is covetousness. I believe it's Colossians 3:5 or so. It says that covetousness is idolatry. What's idolatry? Idolatry is replacing God with another God. Well, covetous means you want something so much you don't care if it displeases God or not. Huh? You don't care if it violates His word or not. You want it. You're going to get it. If it hurts somebody, you're going to get it anyway. If you have to lie to get it, you're going to get it. That is shameful gain, which is what the King James called filthy lucre. But it's got nothing to do with money being bad. Money's not bad. I'll take some. How about you? Godly people know what to do with it. Right? Godly people can turn it into ministry. Turn it into helping people. Turn it into building the church. And the sooner we get this thing done, sooner we're all out of here. Is that right? Yeah. So no, we need mind renewal. Everybody said out loud, Father God, reveal to me. Help me to have my mind renewed to what is good and what is evil. And not be confused and mixed up from the traditions of men. I ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So again, it's not what you have. It's how you got it. Go to 1 Timothy, if you would. And let's look at this. 1 Timothy 6. Thanks be to God. I'm going to read it again while you're going over there. This term, filthy lucre, it literally means shameful gain. It's not the gain that's the problem. If you look up the word gain, it's used in positive ways in the scriptures. I mean, if you made an investment, why'd you make it to start with? You wanted a profit on it, right? You wanted to make something on the deal, right? And so that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing if it's done the right way. Now, if you lied to get it, that's shameful gain, right? That's bad. If you stole to get it, if you deceived, if you misrepresented, any of those things, that means you wanted it too much. You loved it more than God and more than doing right and more than caring about people. You know, you want to be a good business person. You want to be wise. You want to do things smart. But you want to keep telling yourself all the time when you're dealing with people, people are more important than money. That was a little weak. I'm looking into the camera. People are always more important than money. Amen. Right? Yes. And what's more important than a deal or a profit is your witness. Yes. Hmm? Because, you know, whether you're working on a job or whether you're in a business or whatever, You're not just a businessman. You're not just a worker. You're a Christian first, right? And you know, people that are around you in a length of time, they find that out. They know that. And they need to see it in you. And they need to see it demonstrated, even if it costs you money. And if it does, and you need to do that to keep your witness and to keep from hurting people, how many know the Lord will make it up to you? He will. He'll make it up to you. A lot of times the very next thing you do, you'll make twice off of it. I've seen it. I've even in ministry. Years ago, I went to places where I went in the hole financially, you know, going there. But the very next place I went, I got two and three times what you'd normally get. Well, how many agree that preachers like myself should not be led by money? Amen. Well, that's easy for you to say, right? Because the bills come, right? The bills come due. But why would it be any different for any believer? Huh? Somebody said out loud, I'm not led by money. I'm not led by price. I'm not led by amounts. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm led by the love of God. Hallelujah. And the big thing is you always want your witness to exemplify that God cares about people way more than he does money. Amen. And stuff. Amen. Right? Yes. And knowing this, that God will take care of you. Yes. And whatever you need to do to make that right and to keep it that way, he'll make it up to you. If something costs you on one side, you'll see it made up on the other. So he calls this filthy lucre, another way of saying it was greedy gain, gain of oppressions, dishonest gain. The Amplified in 1 Timothy 3:3 says, not a lover of money, insatiable for wealth and ready to obtain it by questionable means. I thought that was perfect definition, didn't you? What is filthy lucre? It's being, gaining it dishonestly, being a lover of money, insatiable for wealth, and ready to obtain it by questionable means. Dishonest way of getting it. Say it out loud, Lord.
Lord,
I only want it your way.
I only want your will.
And what pleases you. I don't love money.
I love you.
Glory to God. Well, that's our time for today. Come back tomorrow. We'll see you soon here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.